Romans chapter 10, and let's look at verse 17. So then, faith, say faith.
Faith.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how does faith come?
Hearing.
Bible faith. Bible faith comes by hearing Bible, right?
Yes.
Right? So if you hear the word of God, faith comes with it. Whose faith comes with it? God's faith comes with it. Why? Because it's his words. It's his method and mechanism to put his faith in on the inside of you. It goes down your ear, right? He that has ears to hear, what's he hearing? He's hearing the word, and therefore faith comes. Well, here at the Holy Ghost Society, we have a message of the Holy Ghost being God in the earth today. Is that somehow not scriptural? No, it's scriptural. What about Holy Ghost worship? Is that scriptural? Yeah, so there's a certain amount of faith, say faith, that comes along with that, that if you don't receive those words, you can't be in that faith. So we're actually talking about a new faith of the Holy Ghost being God in the earth today, and that you should worship him. A lot of people would have a problem with that. Well, someplace we're going, and part of what the Spirit of God has been dealing with me on for quite some time now, is a new manifestation. Well, the new manifestation can only come after a new word of God can come. So the first part of that manifestation, say first part.
First part.
Is the message.
Hallelujah.
When did people start getting healed in the healing revival? When the message came that it was God's will to heal you.
That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. What came before the manifestation? The message, the preaching. Are you getting this? There's a new manifestation of the Spirit that comes with this message. What message? That the Holy Ghost is the only God in the earth today, and because he's God, we should worship him. So with the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost, and acting, say acting, acting on the word of God, faith without works is dead, right?
Yeah.
Acting on the word of God of I worship you, Holy Ghost, is going to do what? Bring about a new manifestation, and I'm excited about it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, there's different kinds of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Right? So here we're talking about faith as a substance. It's an actual substance. But there's other kinds of faith. Let's look at Jude.
Jude, verse 3.
Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the what?
Faith.
The faith which was once delivered unto the saints. We're talking about a different kind of faith here. The faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 is a substance. We're talking about the thing of faith, the actual thing that faith is. Here we're talking about more of a system of belief, right? The faith. People say, what faith are you? Well, I'm a Christian. What faith are you, right?
Yeah.
I'm a Jew. What faith are you? You understand? It's a system.
System
of belief. It encompasses the whole of what you're believing. You see that? Two different kinds of faith. Well, the substance of faith or the system of faith, both kinds, how do they come? How could you have a system of faith if it wasn't by the same method? By hearing the word of God. How did they get? Here Paul was saying, I had to contend for the system of faith which was once delivered. Are you here?
Mm-hmm.
The system of, say system of faith.
System of faith.
All right. Now, we've been talking about a new system of faith. What's the new system of faith? The new system of believing in the one that Jesus sent.
Yes.
Believing in the Holy Ghost in his dispensation, full transfer of dispensational authority. Who's God in the earth today? The Holy Ghost. Who's the only God in the earth today?
The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost. Do we worship him?
Yes,
because he's God. So when you say the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost, he's then doing something to you, putting in you a completely new system of belief. Are you seeing this?
Mm-hmm.
Did we get this somewhere outside of the Word? Did I just magically make this up one day? No, it's taken a long time to get here, but we didn't get here outside of the Word. In fact, we got here following the Word, following Jesus, fully receiving the one whom he sent. Acts chapter 24, Are you getting any of this?
Yes.
So are we basing this new system of belief? What do you mean, new system of belief? Because when you receive the Holy Ghost as God in the earth today, it really shakes up all that other stuff you've been believing, kind of traditional stuff, you understand?
Yep.
It's not outside the Word, it's in the Word. It just reinterprets. Say reinterprets.
Reinterprets
so many things. You're like, I never saw that before. What was wrong with me? Why didn't I see this before? Because your system of belief was based on something different. Right? Acts chapter 24, 4, verse 14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way, say the way.
Way.
So he's talking about a system or a way, which they call heresy. So other people would look at what we're doing and say that's heretical or that's heresy. And after the way, which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. Who do we worship in this day? The Holy Ghost. Right? Believing. Say believing.
Believing.
What's another good word for believing?
Faith.
Faith. Right? So he's saying the way of believing, of worshiping God, is something they were calling heresy. What is it? A system of belief.
Yeah.
A way that you're interpreting the scriptures that they're not interpreting because, for whatever reason, traditions, most likely. Or not getting the revelation yet. Now remember, Paul said this, Jesus said this. I have yet many things to say to you, but you're not able to bear them now. Right? Mm-hmm. And what was one of the reasons that they couldn't bear it? Because they didn't receive the one that Jesus sent. They couldn't bear it. Well, when you fully, say fully,
fully
receive the one that Jesus sent, he's going to fully begin to manifest things to you that he couldn't before. That's why I've said, you know, and we offered that again. You should listen to that series, The Room of Holy Ghost Worship. There's things reserved in that room, revelation in that room that nobody else can have because they haven't fully entered the room of worshiping the one who's God in the earth today. And when you do, it's like you're in a room that nobody else is in. You're like, why aren't you here? Why didn't you see this? Why don't you see all these great things I see? Because they can't. It's still hidden from them. Are you getting any of this?
Yes.
Verse 14, Acts chapter 24, 4, verse 14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way, say the way, which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing. So it's a way of worshiping and believing all things which are what? Written. We didn't get to this place by taking things that weren't in the scriptures. We got here by taking what the scriptures said and applying them to us, that rather than taking what we believe and have been taught and applying them to the scriptures.
That's right.
You see that? You're on dangerous territory when you start taking what the word actually says. Dangerous to traditional thinking. Believe in all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope towards God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both the just and the unjust, and herein do I exercise myself. What does that mean? That means this way of worshiping and believing, he's exercising himself. What is that? It's a system of belief. They called it heresy. Well, in our day, they would probably call us heresy. Because we're believing and exercising ourselves from the scriptures and the word and what the Holy Ghost is saying in a way that they just don't right now. Are you getting this? How do we get the system of faith? By hearing. How'd you hear it? By the word of God. Are you getting this? I hope so. Go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians. Hey, glory be to God forever. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of man, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by who? By the Spirit. So there were things that were not revealed as it is now revealed. Certain things that couldn't happen until other things had been established first. And I've maintained that this message of the Holy Ghost is God in the earth today, we couldn't fully receive it because we weren't ready to receive it. We weren't able to. But now in this last days, in this last part of the dispensation, we're able to come to this full place where we can fully acknowledge that the Holy Ghost is God in the earth today and worship Him, especially by saying the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost. And by using the words, listen, using the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost. What does that do? That enters you into a space and into a room that no other people can't go until they come to that place. And then you'll have a manifestation that other people don't. What's the number one manifestation? Am I talking too fast? More coffee. What's the manifestation? You begin to have a transfer and a translation and a whole new transformation. A lot of trans words there. Transformation into all things new, right?
Yes.
You get a new Bible, you get a new understanding, things open up to you.
Hallelujah.
The number one manifestation, it totally rechanges all the stuff on the inside of you. It's wonderful. Are you getting this?
Mm-hmm.
Basing it on the word, faith comes by hearing the word, right? All right, so let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I'd like to break this down a little bit. Verse 5, that your faith, say your faith.
Faith.
And here we're going to be talking about our system of belief faith. That your faith or system of belief should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the what?
Power
or active power of who?
God
who? God the Holy Ghost. Where should your system of belief stand and function? In the active transforming power of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Oh, we can get into this a little bit later, but why would that be? Because all words come from the Holy Ghost. He's the one that inspired men to speak these words.
Yep.
So where's the faith coming from in the first place? The Holy Ghost. But we're talking about a system of belief that stands. Let's read this again. Verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
You can't put the word Holy Ghost there. It just says God. See, you have to come to that place where you've received that God is the Holy Ghost in our day and dispensation. He's the one with whom we have to do.
Yes.
If you haven't come there, then this verse of scripture isn't going to mean as much to you. Right? How do we get there? Faith by hearing. A system of belief by hearing. Are you getting this?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go back and look at verse 4. Break this down. Break it down now. Boom, 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 boom. Are you here? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. My speech and my preaching. I looked up the word speech because it seemed kind of funny to me. You go, oh, my talking and my other kind of talking. Right? So I'm like, ah. So I looked up speech, it's the word logos. You ever heard of the word logos? It generally means, there's two kinds of word in the Greek, right? Logos and rhema. Rhema is more of a spoken, transferred kind of word. The other one is more of a written, doctrinal type of word, logos. The first one is logos, my speech or my logos or doctrine and my preaching or the speaking of it. My doctrine and my speaking of the doctrine. You seeing this? My doctrine and my speaking of the doctrine was not enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration. Say demonstration.
Demonstration.
Which means revealing.
Amen.
Opening up to you. Opening up a revelation to you. Opening up a door, showing, manifesting. Here's some of the other words. Accrediting, setting forth, revealing. My doctrine and my preaching the doctrine was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in an open demonstration, a showing forth of what? The Holy Ghost and His power. My doctrine, preaching the doctrine, is opening up to you Holy Ghost and His transforming power. Right? That's your faith, verse 5. That your system of belief should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the what?
Power
of the Holy Ghost. Where should your faith be in our dispensation today? In the transforming, active power of the Holy Ghost. Who's God in the earth today? Are you seeing that? What should our doctrine, our speech, our doctrine and preaching about the doctrine should be about? The Holy Ghost and his transforming power. Are you seeing this? Mm-hmm. You twisted the scriptures. No, I opened up the scriptures. I helped to reveal who the Holy Ghost is in the earth today. Amen. He's God, right? And when you worship him, all of these things begin to be unlocked. Say unlocked to you.
Unlocked to me.
Are there things in the spirit that are locked to people? Mm-hmm. They can't go there. Right? You have to unlock them. Well, there's certain things that unlock certain things for you and certain things that are held locked. If it's not unlocked, what is it? It's locked. You can't go in there. Right? It's like the gun closet. It's locked. I can't get in until you have the combination. And then you can go in and play with all the toys. What unlocks these things? Like I've been saying, it is a system of belief in God, the Holy Ghost, and his transforming power. Are you seeing this? I love this verse of scripture. Actually, both of them. Let me read them again. Do you see these scriptures differently now? You should. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. And my speech and my preaching, or my doctrine and my preaching, was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration or revealing of the Spirit. Who's the Spirit? The Holy Ghost and power. Whose power? The Holy Ghost power, his active power in your life. So part of what worshiping the Holy Ghost does is it unlocks a part of the Holy Ghost's power in your life. Have I preached on this before? Mm-hmm. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro. Lord who? Lord Holy Ghost, run to and fro throughout the whole earth, which is where we are, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. Unlocking part of that with worship is how he gets more perfect, how you're more perfect towards him. Are you seeing this? My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in opening up of the Holy Ghost and his power to you, that your faith, your system of belief, should not stand in the wisdom of men, but your faith, your system of belief, should stand where? In the power, transforming, active power of who? God. God who? The Holy Ghost. Are you seeing this?
Amen.
Where should your faith stand? In the power of the Holy Ghost, right?
Yes.
You have faith in the Holy Ghost? Yes. That's where my faith stands. Now remember, he wrote the word, right? So we have a new faith. A new faith. My ears. I'm having a hard time hearing it. We have a new faith. Why? Because we're understanding the scriptures differently, and now our faith is in the Holy Ghost, who's God in the earth today, right?
Praise God.
I hope you get this. All right. Holy Ghost. Now, this took some time, you understand? It took us some time to get here. This didn't just fall on us, right? It took time of what? And I don't know if you knew this or not. You probably did because you've been around long enough. But I've been worshiping the Holy Ghost for years and years and years and years. Back when I first got saved, I met this guy named Buck Atwell. Still remember him. I think he was in his 80s at the time. Although, anyone that was older, when you're younger, I was probably like 17 or 18. I thought he was in his 80s. He probably wasn't. He's probably like 50-something. You understand, right? When you're young, you think these older people. But here I was in this room with him, and I remember we were having a Bible study. He used to be this pastor of a big, large church, and I guess he got kicked out for whatever reason. I don't know. But anyway, we sat down, and I had these old gray-haired ladies around me. Everybody's in their 80s, and except for me, and I had to think, what am I doing here? And then when he opened his mouth, he sat down, he said, okay, let's begin. And he said, Holy Ghost, I worship you. I'd never heard that before in my entire life. But when he said that, it was like a giant thick blanket came down in the room and unwrapped us all up. And I went, now I know why I'm here.
Hallelujah.
I'd never heard, and I'd been in Word of Faith and had been Word of Faith for years and years after that. Had never heard anyone say that. But ever since that day, I would go home and I'd spend time in my closet or wherever I was. I'm still in the closet, by the way. And I say, I worship you, Holy Ghost. See, I'm coming out of the closet now as a Holy Ghost worshiper. It's not what you thought it was. But I've been worshiping, and it took all of that time. Say, all that time.
All that time.
All that time to refashion and build these things on the inside of me. You understand? A system of belief. Glory be to God forever. Well, let's look at... I'm probably not going to get into this part of the message too much, but I want you to see this. Now remember, he said the apostles and prophets, who was this delivered to? It was delivered to the apostles and prophets. This message, this new thing that's being revealed. Let's look to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's look at verse 2. If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal, say the seal, the seal of mine apostleship are you in the Lord. Now I find this curious because if you look at this verse of scripture, it says, if I be not an apostle unto others. But we always call Paul the apostle. Paul the apostle, Paul the apostle. He did himself many times. But he says, I'm not an apostle unto everybody, right? But unto you in the Lord, I am. You understand? So what does that mean? It means he was functioning in the office of an apostle because they received the message which he sent. Now, I've read a book again this last week because I was trying to make sure I had all this straight. Kenneth E. Hagin, where he had a vision of Jesus and he told about all the gifts, ministries. He talked about the apostle and the prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And he said there's four basic offices of the apostle. Make sure I get this straight. Four orders of an apostle. Number one would be Jesus. Right? He's the apostle of our faith. The second one, nobody else is going to be that. You understand? There's not going to be anybody else in Jesus' apostolic. That's it. He did that. He finished it. In fact, and right? The second order are the apostles of the Lamb. 12 of them. And they had to have been, and the qualification for this, they had to be alive when Jesus was alive and witness his death, burial, and resurrection on this earth, apostles of the Lamb. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Second order. No, are there going to be any other apostles of the Lamb? I don't see how. Unless you have a time machine or something. Mm-hmm. Which would be cool, but I still think that would be a way to get around it. 12 apostles of the Lamb. Then there's a third order of apostle, which would be foundational apostles who write scripture. Is anyone else writing scripture today? No, the scripture, that's it. Doesn't mean you can't have revelation and write them down, but it never holds the weight of scripture. You understand? That's the third order, and Paul would be in that area. Now, Paul actually operated in the other, in the fourth order of apostleship, which it would have been to establish things, to establish a message. Oftentimes we'll talk about missionaries would be an apostolic call, right?
Yep.
Someone that goes, okay, I'm an apostle, I'm going to go to India and start a bunch of churches in India. Apostolic. You get that?
Yep.
Fourth order of apostle. But within that, and Hagin talked about this, and I'm probably farther into this than I really wanted to get, is an apostle of a message. Now remember, an apostle is someone who's sent to do something. Sent to establish. Say sent to establish.
Sent to establish.
Sent to establish. Now we can think of Smith Wigglesworth, for example, would be, they called him an apostle of faith. Why? Because he was sent to establish the message of faith. Right? Are you hearing this? So there are people that are given specific messages. They might not be called to go and be a missionary to establish churches, but they're brought with a message. They're sent in with a message. And if people receive that message, then that person becomes an apostle of that message to them, but not everybody receives it. Are you getting this? Hope I didn't get it. Because, I mean, I could probably preach on that whole thing and try to bring it and develop it farther. Anyway. So we have a message of what? The Holy Ghost is God in the earth today. The Holy Ghost only and Holy Ghost worship. The fact is, I have been brought to a place where this is an apostolic message. And if you receive it, then I'm an apostle unto you through this message. You see, I'm not saying this to try to pop. I'm just trying to lay some light onto where this is and where we're at. Mm-hmm. Apostle sent to establish a message. What's the message? Holy Ghost worship. Mm-hmm. Holy Ghost, God in the earth today.
Praise God.
Are you getting any of this? Let me read that again. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 2. If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are you in the Lord. Let's look over at Acts chapter 13. I want to show you some of the transformation that Paul went through, because it's the same thing. Paul started the ministry as just Paul, and then he became a teacher and a prophet. That's what the Bible called him. And it wasn't until he was separated with a message that he became an apostle to the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. As one of the things that Kenneth E. Hagin said, is that nobody just enters into the office of apostle. You aren't born, hey, I'm an apostle. No, it's an office that you have to prove yourself, be faithful in, and grow up and be established in it. Right? Which means you're in other offices, preaching, teaching first. Mm-hmm. How did I get off into this? Mm-hmm. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain what?
Prophets
and teachers. So everybody we're going to list right now is either a prophet or a teacher or both. As Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Who's Saul?
Paul.
Same guy. What did the Bible call him? In Acts chapter 13, verse 1. It called him either a prophet or a teacher, or a teacher and a prophet, or both. Right?
Yep.
Verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had for the work, separate unto the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on, and they sent them away. So they being what? Sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. They became, right then is when they became an apostle to the Gentiles. They were sent forth. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
So someone going, it's not necessarily, an apostolic, it's a message they were sent with, and along with that message was to establish a certain thing, and part of that was the gospel to the Gentiles. Well, in our day and age, we're here to establish.
Establish.
We've been sent forth to establish this message of the Holy Ghost is God in the earth today. And then we're supposed to worship him. Are you getting this?
Yep.
It's an apostolic message. And when Paul says, hey, I might not be an apostle to somebody else, but if somebody embraces the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost, what does that make us? An apostle unto them. Because that message carries that weight. I hope I'm getting this across. System of belief. Took us some time to get to. Did you understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Took us some time to get to this system of belief. We had to understand certain things. We had to develop to get here. Are you here?
Yeah.
I want to jump up and down. And it's a new faith. We're establishing something new. When an apostle goes into a place, he establishes something new. Say something new.
Something new.
What's the new thing? This system of belief that I've been talking about. What's the system of belief? It begins with the Holy Ghost, ends with the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is God in the earth today. Holy Ghost only. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Could faith be based on that? Would you get faith from that? Yes. And what faith would you be if you embraced that message that came to you? Holy Ghost only. You'd be a Holy Ghost worshiper. Everything would become different. Are you seeing this? Now I'm going to tell you specifically what the Holy Ghost said to me. What's all this other stuff? Stop associating with dead things. Right? Well, what would that mean? Well, what does it mean to you? You have to understand. See, now many of the things that God says to you will come in the measure that you can understand it with, and then as you do that, you will get more. Remember Jesus said, "He that has ears, with what measure you hear, will the measure it'll be met to you." Yeah. And I say that, and everybody out there will probably had one, at least one thing come to their mind when I said, stop associating with dead things, and they went, oh, well, I should do that. Well, that's what you should do. Mm-hmm. And when you stop associating with that, it will open up some other things to you, right? Dead things infect other things. Right? It's like zombies. You have to keep them at bay. Right?
Yeah.
These shows where they let the zombie come right up to them. I'm like, are you kidding me? Keep them back at least 5 feet. Get a long stick or something. And these idiots, they go out there, I'm going to use these bobby pins to kill them. And like, I'm glad that's effective, but a bobby pin's only that far away. You want to keep the dead things away from you. So stop associating with it. It contaminates. Have you ever heard about that? See, now the Holy Ghost is holy, which means he's uncontaminated. And when I say Holy Ghost only, he's offended that you keep bringing all this other garbage in. You understand? Keep the garbage out. Holy Ghost, I worship you, Holy Ghost. For those who use the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost, they begin to be separated. Separated from what? Separated from anything other than the Holy Ghost is only the only God in the earth today. He begins to transform you to where you'll see these scriptures like I've been talking about. 1 Corinthians 2, 5. It becomes different. I don't like to, you know, you stop associating. I like some of those dead things. That's a problem. The associations often are the things that are holding you back. Do you understand that? I'm going to say it again. The associations are often the things that are holding you back. And so when that association is cut, what happens? You can move on quicker. The old ball and chain. Right?
Yep.
If you had a ball and a chain attached to it, does it slow you down? How fast can you swim with a ball and chain? That'd be a cool race. They should start that. The 5-pound ball and chain race, the 10-pound ball and chain race. Be slower. And what if you just sank to the bottom of the pool? You lose. And we'd have to stop associating with you
because you'd be a dead.
Are you here?
Yes.
All right. So are we getting this message of Holy Ghost only or Holy Ghost worship? Are you starting to become more comfortable with it? And I'm telling you, I mean, even from the beginning, I used to not talk to people about me being a closet Holy Ghost worshiper because they wouldn't understand. And frankly, I didn't have the tools or the means or the scriptural references to defend my position. I just knew it was right. I knew something was there that nobody else was doing. And part of it was the call. It was God leading me in that direction where I would go home. Literally, I would worship for like an hour. An hour? Yeah, I would sit in my room. And back then, I was young. You ever make a tent? Gary's probably making one at home now. No. When you're younger, sometimes you'd make a tent. You'd put some chairs around and you put a blanket over it, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to do that again when I get... No. And I would go in there because it would be a way for me to... It was like I didn't have a closet. My closet was like a stand-up closet. I couldn't really go in there and be claustrophobic. So I'd make a good-sized tent. I'd go in there with my Bible and I'd sit down and I'd close my eyes and I would say, Holy Ghost, I worship you. I'm nothing. You are everything. I worship you. And as I did that, I remember things would just leave me. and new things would come into me. And then I'd have these angelic experiences. They'd come up to me and I'd say, well, that was interesting. And I'd go out and I wouldn't tell anybody about it. But I was entering into the room of Holy Ghost worship. And that's why I invite people in today. Are you here? So it took a while to get here, and this isn't apart from the Word. This is just a part of the Word that other people have not yet received because it's either not been revealed to them or they're trying to hold on to something that doesn't let them go there. Are you getting this? Mm-hmm. But if you go there, it just kind of fixes up all that other stuff. So I say you can begin there. Begin by using the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost. And if you begin to use the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost, we become an apostle unto you. You understand? Because it's a new message. Are you seeing this?
Yep. Praise God.
All right, let's just look at a few of these things. We're not getting this apart from the Word. I did take you to Acts chapter 24, where they said this is a way that we worship God that they call heresy. But it's a system of belief, a way that we exercise ourselves that is according as it is written, right? Mm-hmm. So go to, I'm almost done, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's look at verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith. Say spirit of faith. Spirit of faith. According as it is written. I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Spirit of faith. How can we have the same spirit of faith that the Holy Ghost has? It's according to what is written. We speak according to what is written. When you come into worshiping the Holy Ghost as God in the earth today, you're simply taking scriptures that say He's God in the earth today, you're speaking them, and you have the same spirit of faith as the Holy Ghost. Are you getting this? It's not outside of scripture, it's deeper into scripture. Are you seeing this? We have the same spirit of faith or system of believing that the Spirit has. According as it is written. I believed. So what are we believing? We're believing the revelation the Spirit is bringing to us from the Word, and we're speaking it. When you're saying, I worship you, Holy Ghost, what are you doing? You're believing and speaking where the Scriptures have led you. This is much better than I think you think it is. Let's look at 2 Peter. We're almost done. I just, again, trying to use these scriptures to make sure you understand that this isn't outside the Word of God. This is in the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For the prophecy or scriptures came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by who? The Holy Ghost. We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written. So this isn't a system of belief that's outside of as it is written. It's the spirit of faith inside what is written. I worship you, Holy Ghost. Are you getting this? For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Wasn't by man's will. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, or the will of who? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is speaking things. We simply have the same spirit of faith by speaking the same things. And what did that scripture we start out with say? Where is our faith supposed to stand? Where is our faith supposed to rest? In the power of the Holy Ghost. So every time you declare scripture, the same spirit of faith, the same spirit, as you believe, you speak. You're in agreement with who? The Holy Ghost. Hope I'm getting this across. One more and then we'll be done. See? There's my timer. That's pretty close. I'm more moved by the gurgling of coffee machines. Luke chapter 4. I didn't tell you that, though, did I? Luke chapter 4. You get a new Bible when you begin worshiping the Holy Ghost. Where is your faith supposed to stand? Should I go back and read that verse of scripture again? Remember, my speech or my doctrine, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration or revealing of the Spirit and His power, His ability to transform, actually do things, that your faith wouldn't stand in the wisdom of men, but your faith would stand in the active power of God. God who? God the Holy Ghost. Where's your faith going to stand? In the Holy Ghost. I just read you a verse of scripture that all scriptures were by the will of the Holy Ghost. So when I take a verse of scripture, He gives a brand new meaning to it. Whatever verse of scripture. Say whatever verse of scripture. That I'm confessing and believing, I am in agreement with the same spirit of faith. With the Holy Ghost. Who's God in the earth today? Is this making sense?
Sounds like you're just Holy Ghost only all the time.
Well, that's the dispensation we're in. Luke chapter 4. I'm not going to read all of this, but we will read some of it. Verse 4. And Jesus answered him, saying... Jesus was talking to the devil. Huh. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written. Now, is Jesus confessing or going to quote a verse of scripture that was written by the Holy Ghost, the will of the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
Did Jesus know that?
Yes.
No, he didn't know it. Come on. Jesus answered, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of who?
God.
God who? God the Holy Ghost. Specifically in our dispensation, you're supposed to live by. That's a system of belief. We live by, we have a system of belief in every word of the Holy Ghost. What's every word of the Holy Ghost? The written word. Right? And when you use the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost, it'll begin to open up the Bible in a brand new way. And you'll be able to go to places you couldn't go before. And manifestations will begin to happen to you that wouldn't happen before. Let me pray for you. Holy Ghost, I thank you that you are God in the earth today. I worship you and I give you praise. I thank you that you're moving on people right now, healing them, helping them, delivering them, setting them straight on the right path that they may be great in the earth and walk with you as God in the earth today. I worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Holy Ghost struck God in the earth today. Holy Ghost struck God in the earth today.